And I've even said this to my wife. I said, well, I just hate to start trying to talk about it. I love to talk about it, and I'm thrilled to talk about it. And I just love to receive it from God. It is so lovely to be caught up in that wonderful place. But I'm real reluctant to talk about it because people as a whole, they're just not spiritual. As far as preaching to them, you don't have any trouble preaching to them. Once in a while, they'll bind things up. But as far as preaching to them, you can preach to them. You can just break loose and really preach. But when it comes to just, you know, just kind of calming down and just standing here and letting the anointing speak, let God begin to speak through you, hard to find the right atmosphere for that. And I was telling some of them the other day, I said, I just hate to start because you go to talk to a group of people, whether it's at church or whatever, and they're so restless, they can't concentrate, not spiritual. And you try to say something, and in a few minutes, they're moving around and they're looking around, and it's kind of like the pies I spoke of, you know, they're just grabbing a handful, and, you know, and then that's it. And you get so weary. You try to explain, and they listen just enough to get you started into it, and then they just quit. And it's a shocking situation. You're standing there, you need to say something, and you know that you just got out enough to where the people are going to be confused, and you start struggling to finish it, and you see somebody getting all out of sauce, and you don't want to say anything because if you point out the devil where he's using somebody, then it's going to boomerang around to a half a dozen more that's real weak. And the devil's going to get strength, and a third of your congregation's going to freeze up on you. And then you're going to get grieved, and when you get grieved, you're going to start popping the whip. And when you pop the whip, everybody's going to wonder what in the world's happening. And the first news you know, you just got a crossed up conglomeration of a mess. So like I was telling the brethren the other day, I started to say something. I said, no, I won't do that. And some of the brethren was wanting us to talk about Revelation. I said, well, I just, you know, Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spiritual. I would like to do that. He said, but seeing that you are carnal, I can't. And said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation so that I can. And he said, seeing that you're yet carnal, hunting, fishing, buying, going, riding, visiting, reading magazines, watching TV, listening to the radio, all those kind of things that you give your time to, just idling around in the stores and at home, you know, just eating and drinking and talking about worldly things, always your mind on the business, natural things, cars, houses, money. You know, he said, are you not yet carnal? Well, as he tells us to have a conversation that is a heavenly conversation. Let your conversation be in heaven. That is, talk about spiritual things. He said, be spiritual. Talk about spiritual things. Think about spiritual things. Move in the spiritual realm. Walk in the spirit, and you'll not fulfill the desire of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. But he said, seeing that you don't do this and seeing that you have no desire for this, he said, then there's no need of me just conglomerating something or causing a problem. He said, I just have to speak to you like you are. You know, a lot of times, I might say something. This could apply to me, to my wife, to my children, to anybody. And people want to be real spiritual because they want to hear what I'm saying. And they apply themselves. And then they listen real good. You tell them. And as quick as you get through, they're right back to their laughing and joking and frolicking and whatever. Didn't mean nothing to them. And they said, boy, I got that. That thrilled me. I was glad to get that. Didn't mean a thing to them. They didn't get nothing. They heard a voice, but they didn't see no light. You know, you hear the words of the preacher. The Bible said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And you hear the words of the preacher. But see, the difference is that the eyes of your understanding didn't come open. You didn't see the light with the eyes of your understanding. The words, you hear that oral sound that comes from the preacher, but your eyes of understanding didn't see. You didn't comprehend the heights of what he said and the depths of what he said. You didn't get hold of it. See, having eyes, even eyes of understanding, you see not. Having ears, even ears of understanding, you hear not. Lest at any time you should see with your eyes and hear with your ears and convert, and God should heal you. So then it makes it real difficult sometimes. Though we love to talk about it, we love to be caught up in it, we love to be part of it. But I see this. I see it out of my own family. I talk to my own family about some things. And I see this out of my own family. I see it out of my own spiritual children here. I see it out of the people of Bethlehem. I see it out of different ones wherever we go. But in that you are like that, then the Bible said, just desire the sincere milk of the word that you might grow thereby. And then one day you'll get to where, if Jesus tarries, you'll get to where you can have the meat of the word. The Bible said the meat of the word is for the strong. They who have by reasoning they've exercised their senses to be able to discern between good and evil. So then the meat is for the strong. When you are not spiritually minded, when you don't have enough strength to go pray, to study your Bible, to make conversation of holy things and spiritual things, and when you don't have enough strength to keep your mind right on godly things and holy things, and you're real carnal, and you want to do natural things, and you feel more comfortable, and it's more enjoyable to you when you do natural things. See, you're just a little babe, and you don't have any strength. You don't have any spiritual strength. So you have to pray that God will give you spiritual strength, that you might prevail against the flesh. And he that overcometh, Jesus said, I will grant unto him that he can sit down in my throne with me, even as I overcame. That is, overcome the flesh and the fleshly desires of natural things. There's a world, there's a dimension of natural things, there's a dimension of spiritual things. And there's a spiritual people that will inhabit the spiritual world, and there's a natural people that must inhabit the natural world. And, whereas a spiritual person, he can't be content with natural things. You can give him the same natural things and give him 10 times the things. Give him 10 times the things of the natural. But he won't be contented with them. He won't be happy with them. But you can take spiritual things and try to give to a natural person, and it works the same way. See, a spiritual person won't be contented with natural things. A natural person won't be contented with spiritual things. Take spiritual things for a spiritual person. Otherwise, they're vexed. They may listen to you, they may talk with you, but they're vexed. They're vexed. Like the Bible said concerning Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said he was vexed. Said that just man, he must have been a just man. The Bible said that just man was vexed by their filthy conversation. But you know, a person that's not really spiritual, it don't vex them. You can say filthy things and they might not want to hear it. Somebody might not want to hear it. You might say, well, I wish you wouldn't say that. I don't like that. But really, it don't vex them. It don't really bother them. You know, they hear it. They can hear it. It really doesn't vex them. They just don't want to hear it. But brethren, let me tell you something. When you get something down in here that's clean and holy, it literally vexes you until you could scream just for an evil thought to come to your mind. You don't have to hear anything in your ear. Just for one evil thought to come to your mind, it just literally vexes the life out of you. See, because you don't want any fellowship with darkness. The Bible said light hath no fellowship with darkness. And you don't care for the things of this world. So, as I said, there's lots of things that God would like to share with us. He'd like to share them with me. He'd like to share them with you. But at the same time, for us to be able to have those things, we've got to be spiritual. We've got to move up a long, long ways. Fasting isn't going to give them to you. Praying isn't going to give them to you. You can fast all you want to. You can pray from now on till you drop dead. It won't give it to you. And I have heard of people dying on their knees. You can do it. You can pray till you die. I have heard of people praying until they went blind. You can do that. But I won't give it to you. But I tell you what, we'll give it to you. When you submit to Christ in real surrender and obedience, seeking the spirit of revelation, praying that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, submitting, obedience is better than all of your sacrifice. I can sacrifice and step all night long and pray, but that won't do it. I can sacrifice and go without food numbers of days, that still won't do it. But if I love the Lord with all of my heart and surrender to where I want every thought clean, I want every word holy, I want every deed right, I want every impulse of my body, every reflect of my mind to be in harmony with Jesus, to where I feel pure and holy and godly and clean and upright, that'll do it, folks. That will do it. Right there, that will do it. And you don't have many people like that. Did you know it? Out of all of the world, wherever you travel, you don't have many folks like that. Not even preachers. Not even the most devout people who profess Christianity. You don't have very many folks like that. You've got people that'll fast 30 days and come off of it and be more carnal than they was before they went on a 30-day fast. You got people that'll stay around on their knees all night long and get up the next day and be more carnal than they was to start with. See, there's something about it that it's just going to take His Spirit, that's all. I've got people that pray, that fast, that don't even come to church. They'll fast and they'll pray and stay out of church with a regularity. I'm talking about fasting and praying. I know of people that fast and pray, but you can't get them to come to church. You can't get them to help with the cause of Christ. They just won't do it. And I got people that fast and pray that's nothing but troublemakers. They'll fast and pray and won't do nothing but cause trouble. I know of a man, you know, I learned a lesson at an early age. I know of a man that was one of the most fasting men that I knew of. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed, and he was the biggest troublemaker in the church. I mean, he was one of the biggest. He could shout. He could just stand and cry and tears would stream down his cheeks. But he was a troublemaker. And the man was baptized in the... I beg your pardon, not baptized in the name of Jesus. But he was baptized according to the Trinitarian baptism. You know, according to the titles. Not according to Acts or the formula for salvation. He never had been baptized according to the formula for salvation, which was in the name of Jesus, according to the book of Acts. Second chapter. But he was baptized in the titles, misunderstanding what the Lord had said concerning going into all the world, baptizing. But yet the man fasted, the man prayed. But he caused more trouble in the church than, as far as I know, than anybody I know of. He caused more trouble. So see, folks, what God wants is obedience. There was a little preacher in the church. He worked on a job. He made a living. He worked hard. Fine young fellow. He fasted. He prayed. He was real genuine. He wasn't like the other man. But I tell you what, he inspired my life and my soul. And today, when I think of him, he's still a lovely inspiration to me. But the other man, finally the Lord suffered Satan to kill him. And you know, when he came right down to it, that same man that was supposed to be fasting so much, praying so much, just crying and running over, just stirred everybody in the community. That same man made a statement concerning baptism in Jesus' name that it's little wonder why God killed him. This is the truth, so help me God. That's why that I feel like I do today. I like to see people conform to the things of God. I love to see people obedient. I love to see people that love Jesus, that wants to be clean and holy and upright. People that love holiness. And if you don't do that, folks, I don't believe you got anything. God is the spirit of holiness. And if you don't have the spirit of holiness, it doesn't matter to me how much you fast and pray. And I really believe in fasting and praying. It wouldn't matter to me how much you give. The thing is, if you don't have the spirit of holiness, you just haven't got it, that's all. If your life isn't a holy, godly, pure, upright thing that wants to leave off with television shows and books and magazines and papers and ball games and frolics and going to things like Six Flags and whatever they've got across the world, many other things that we've heard about and known about across the world. If you can't stay away from those things, if you can't stay away from smoking and drinking and carousing, listening at worldly music and rock and roll and all those kind of things, if you can't stay away from joking and all of those foolish things and the foolishness of the flesh, if you can't stay away from passions and fashions of the world and lust and temper, and if you can't stay away from backbiting and conniving and causing division, all these kind of things, jealousy, hatred, malice, if you can't stay away from these, you just haven't got it. You haven't got it. That's all there is to it. If you can't pay your bills and be upright, not that you won't get behind, not that you won't owe anybody, but to make an effort to be honest and straight, to pay your just and upright debts, you haven't got it. If you can carry money around in your pocket when you owe somebody and make no effort to pay that person, you haven't got it. It just ain't there. That's all there is to it. If you can't work on a job and try to make an honest, decent living, and you expect somebody just to take care of you and leech, you are not living by faith. You just haven't got it. That's all there is to it. I mean, let's face it. That is not the spirit of Christ. There is a spirit of Christ in the heart of men and a spirit of Christ in the heart of the world. That is, he's in this world. But unless you have that spirit, you haven't got it. He said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. And unless you're the kind of person that wants to work and make a living and pay your honest and just debts, you haven't got it. I mean, let's face it. That's the way it is. I said this to my wife the other night. I was talking to some brethren. I said, let me tell you something, brethren. I said, let's understand these things. I said, you cannot live by faith by just sitting down and expecting God to take care of you. You don't live by faith like that. You're no good to yourself. You're no good to the church. You're no good to God. You're no good to nobody. That is not living by faith. That is leeching. That is what you call leeching and being a burden to everybody else when God commanded you not to do that. That's working ill to your neighbor when the Bible said love worketh no ill to his neighbor, because you trouble everybody. That's all you do. Trouble everybody and cause confusion. That is not living by faith. If you had money that you was giving to God and you was taking your income and really giving it to God and doing without and had no way to work or to make any money, you would be living by faith. If you could not make a living, you had no way to make a living, then you would be living by faith, because you would be giving what you had away and you would be benefiting somebody and God would provide for you. But otherwise, the Bible says, labor that you might have to give. Labor that you might have something to give. He commands us to labor that we might have something to give. If you don't labor, you're not going to have anything to give. You're going to be taken all the time. And the Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to take. When you're taken all the time, folks, that's not living for God. That's not living by faith. If you work on a job and you just make enough just to get by to pay your bills and you don't share with anybody else, you're still not doing anything for God. If you just got a hobby sort of a job where you just make out, you know, it's me and my family, we're going to make out, never trying to make anything to give, never trying to labor to give, never trying to get above board to have a little extra to give, You're not doing anybody any good. And I tell you what, you can watch this and see if I'm telling you the truth. It'll come to pass that if anything ever happens to you in the way of sickness or wreck or whatever, God won't protect you either. He'll let you go right out. Because you're no good to anybody. You're no good to God. You're no good to anybody else. And he'll let you go out just like that. But if you do something for God, you know what the Bible says? He that considereth the cause of the poor. The Bible said he shall dwell in the land. That is, God will keep him alive. And the Bible said, verily, he shall be fed. That is, God will feed him, take care of him, and keep him in the land because he is doing good. He is doing good. This is why a lot of great rich men are healthy and they live such long lives. They have industries and they take that as a ministry. They take that as a job. They take that as a responsibility. Maybe they don't know too much about God, but they take that as a family and they feed little children. Wives and husbands are fed from day to day. And they delight in that. And God gives them shrewdness of mind. And he gives them the ability to keep those businesses going. Because they are responsible for hundreds and thousands of people. And God has to feed every mouth. God has to feed every child, every woman, every boy, every girl, every person. And any time that you make it your business to care for people and feed people, God is going to give you something to feed them, whether it's spiritually, whether it's naturally. He's going to do that because you are helping God carry on his business. But folks, when you get jealous, when you get to where you think you're something special and you're just going around trying to project yourself, just causing problems and always talking about you and what you are and what God's told you. And so you get repulsive to God and you just get in the way. You just get to be a troublemaker and it's just one big mess. All you do is cause confusion. And the Bible said where there's confusion, there's every evil work. When things are confusing, you don't understand them. You don't know how to deal with them. See, people get mysterious and they get confusing. And you don't want to say anything against them because you're afraid. See, if a person's a little babe, they don't want to say anything because they're afraid that they'll speak against God. And they get all confused, you know. And yet they don't want to go along with it because it pricks them in their heart. They don't feel good about it. They don't feel like it's the right thing, so they don't want to go along with it. And they just get all complicated in their minds and they don't know what to do. See, that's of the devil, because that's confusing. And the Bible said, where there's confusion, there's every evil work, for confusion is of the devil. I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight. I'm just talking with you. I had in mind to go a different route, but I felt that God wanted this. Must be a reason for it, for me to just stand here and talk to you like Jesus would. So, I say this to your edification. I say this to help you. I say this so that you can have a good, clear mind of how to think when you talk to people and communicate with people and when you meet certain people and when circumstances and certain things arise so that you can have a clear-cut vision about it. Let me tell you something. When you make a debt, you have an obligation, and you tell somebody you're going to pay them. Don't you go pounce on that person when they ask for their money. When they ask for you to take care of your obligation, don't you go saying you've got a devil spirit. I hear people do this. I hear people talking one to another and somebody will want their money. And the other one will say, you got an old bad spirit. You got a demon on you. Folks, them folks ain't got no bad spirit. They ain't got no devil on them. They're just expecting you to live up to your agreement. They have a right to do that. The Bible said, owe no man anything. They have all the right to come to you. And they have a right to come to you upset to the extent that they're disturbed over it, even to the point of anger. The Bible said, be angry and sin not. Even if they're angry, it doesn't mean they're sinning. And it don't mean they have a devil spirit. The Bible said Jesus was angry. He didn't have no devil. He was angry because of the hardness of their heart. See, so don't you jump on a person like that. If you owe a man a bill, don't you start telling that man or that woman that they don't have any right to do that, that God's going to burn their fields, because God isn't going to burn their fields. God's going to burn your fields. For the Bible said the wicked barn won't pay back. It's not them that are wicked, it's you that is wicked. Don't sit around and not pay your bills. I've said this concerning taxes, and something has arisen just recently concerning this. Pay your taxes. Brethren, don't try to evade income tax, because you're not going to get away with it. The Bible said, obey the magistrates of the land. Those things are set there by God. Don't try to evade your taxes. Don't try to be shrewd, because you're going to wind up in prison. You're going to wind up in trouble. I'm telling you. They'll take what you got, and God will let them take what you got. Don't sit down and say, I'm living by faith. They're not going to get mine, because they will get it. You remember the words of this preacher. I tell you in the name of the Lord that they will get it, and God will allow them to get it to reprove you for your foolishness. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, I'll tell you what. Just stay around. He'll make a believer out of you. It don't take him long. He'll make a believer out of you. Do you really believe that God is going to condone your legend and your unconcern? Do you really believe he's going to do that? No, he isn't going to do that. He isn't going to do that any more than he's going to watch after a mother's children when she can watch after them. God will watch after a mother's children if she's an invalid. God will watch after a mother's children if the mother does her diligence to watch them and try to keep them. And then when they get to where the mother doesn't know about it and the mother can't do anything about it, God will watch after the children. It's just like Michelle, Dale and Frank's daughter. She got upset. I wanted to keep Michelle here. I wanted to keep her in church. I wanted to keep her close around. But they felt that they needed to be up around Atlanta because of their work. Well, that's understandable. But I still feel that the children should come first, because that's what we're working for, is to take care of the children. But anyway, they went off up there, so Michelle got with the wrong people, 14 years old. Annie just tore up in her mind. She didn't know what to do. And Dale said they just moved into a den of devils, that she thought it was a fine place. Michelle was gone the other night. When I felt here in church, I said, something's wrong. Something's wrong that very night. I went on until almost midnight talking to Johnny and talking to Tony and Junior. They come down. I said, something's wrong. That very night, I believe it was about that time, Shell left. She slipped out a window. She left. For at least 2 days or more in this cold weather, a 14-year-old kid, they couldn't find her. And Dale was about to go crazy. I went and prayed to God last night, and I told my wife, I said, I feel everything's going to be all right. I said, I feel like everything will be all right. She'll be all right. I said, God will take care of it this time. I said, but next time there'll be real problems. So within a while, just a little while, there was either a telephone call one way or another, and they had found Michelle. See, God was concerned. The mother was looking over in the night, looking. They were trying their best to find her, and the Lord helped them. You know, you got to make an effort, folks. I'm going to talk to you a few more minutes, because I just feel like this is what the Lord's wanting. Jesus said, Peter, now I'm going to put it in my words here as to what he was saying. Peter said, do you think we ought to pay our taxes? Said, do you think they have a right to tax us, Peter? Peter agreed that he felt like they didn't have a right to do that. Jesus said, well, he said, we're strangers, Peter. We don't live in this world. We don't belong to this world. He said, we're strangers. We're just passing through. Like Abraham, we're searching for a city whose builder and maker is God. And said, they don't have any right to do this. He said, but look, Peter. He said, go down to the river. Get the fish. Get the money out of his mouth. Come back and pay our taxes. Said, we might offend them. Now, we can take this up in the high court later. We can bring them before the high courts later. The courts of glory. But right now, he said, just pay them, because we don't want to offend them. And when they came to Jesus, And they said, tell us something. Should we pay our taxes or should we pay tribute to Caesar? Jesus was grieved because he saw there were hypocrites. But he said, what have you got in your hand? They said, this coin. He said, let me see it. He took it and he looked at it. He said, whose superscription is this? They said, it's Caesar's. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that belong unto Caesar, and render unto God the things that belong unto God. So then, folks, you need to take care of Caesar. You need to take care of Caesar. Caesar has some things coming to him. Esau has some things coming to him. God said, you're passing through the land of Esau. Pay your way and don't bother anything. And he said, yours is over the hill. Yours is across the Jordan. Like David Paul, I told David Paul, I said, David Paul, you must pay your taxes. Somebody had put it in David Paul's mind that he didn't have to pay his taxes. And David, being young, he listened. He got it in his mind he didn't have to pay his taxes, because somebody told him about all these people that didn't pay taxes and all these things, you know, that you could get away with. I said, David, it ain't like that. I said, I've done had the experience. I know from study and I know from understanding exactly what they're doing, and they're not getting away with it. And I know the people that's doing it because I've done studied it. I've done made the proper contacts, and them people are not getting away with it. And it's not at all like you think it is. And my hand be raised to heaven that I've had the information thorough, step by step. I know you think I'm a know-all, but I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. But thoroughly, I've been indoctrinated thoroughly as to know exactly what you need to do if you're going to fight the thing concerning taxes. I know exactly the procedure that you're supposed to take according to law. And I know exactly what has happened to them that hasn't taken it, and things that's happened around the nation, around our nation. And I know that you can't get away with it. It is not a law that you can get away with it. I don't know where they ever got that. It's not a law. The law doesn't say that. It doesn't read like that. It's not like that at all. And all you do is cause problems. And it's not like that in the Bible. The Bible said, render unto Caesar the things that belong unto Caesar. So all you've got is a brainstorm, and that come from the devil. But anyway, David Paul listened to them. David Paul come to me the other day, since he set up his business, had his accountant, talked to him. He said, Dad, said, there's one thing about it. He said, you can't do what they told me. He said, I didn't talk with the accountant. We done got down to the law of the thing and got the thing and said, you can't do it. He said, they're wrong. And he acknowledged that what I told him was right about it. And I'm telling you, you can't do it. You may continue on. God may suffer you to continue on. But even if you get by with it in this life, and when you cross over the river, you're going to find yourself in violation of the word of God and lose your soul because of taxes. The Bible said, honor the magistrates, pay your taxes. If you don't have any money to pay them, then don't worry about it. God will take care of it. But folks, when you make $1,000 or $500, and then you spend it all and say, well, I can't pay my taxes, I don't have it, you are going to hell for that. So I said, Brother Pipe, you are going to hell for that because you are in violation of the word of God. So we are not renegades. We are not outlaws. We are Christians. We try to honor the law, obey magistrates, and try to do those things that God has commanded us. It is not right for us to pay taxes. That is not right, because we are strangers. We belong to another city. We belong to another world. And I don't believe it's right. I know it's not right. But the thing is, it's right to this extent. Jesus said, pay your way through the land of Esau. Render unto Caesar the things that belong unto Caesar, and unto God the things that belong unto God. He said, Peter, go get the money and pay it, lest we offend them. And he said, Brother Pike, Brother Vince, Brother Cobbs, Brother Taylor, he said, Brother Hollis, he said, you follow in my steps. I paid the taxes, you do like I do. So then, if you're willing to listen to somebody else instead of God, then you do what you want to do. Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. It's just my job to tell you. So I tell you again, you can't sit around saying I'm living by faith and do these things. You can't do it. It's absolutely wrong. You're creating a burden for folks. You're creating a problem. You're becoming a reproach. And like I tell some of the people here, somebody said, well, I don't care. Like Betty said something about the lights being off. I've had a number of people, their lights get off. Mine could be turned off. You know, I've seen the time when my lights was off. Even as I've traveled around, folks, even living out there in the world, I've seen a time when my lights was off. But you know why they were off? In most cases, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. I'm not exaggerating. In most cases, it was because I was lazy and I didn't work and keep them on. God knows whether that's a lie or not. As far as I know, so help me God, that was the truth. When I really got down to look at the thing, it was my carelessness, my unconcern, my foolishness, my half-hearted outlook toward working and not working regular and not having any system in my life. Somebody said, well, I don't care if my lights is off. But I pointed this out the other day. I care. I care for this reason. It doesn't reproach you, it reproaches me. Like somebody here on the campground, they had their lights off. There wasn't any need for their lights being off. But their lights was off. And somebody came here and they just ripped the brethren apart. They just literally tore them apart. And talked about how Brother Pike and the people had let this poor person go and their lights be off. And he was going to be the good Samaritan and turn their lights on. So the whole campground was reproached over the one thing. And I know for sure that I'd give the man multiplied hundreds of dollars, if not thousands. You understand what I'm saying? You don't care. But folks, I care, and God cares. If you really had an occasion to where your lights had to be turned off because you couldn't help it, that's different. But the same ones I see with their lights turned off, I see them at the steakhouse. I see them eating, drinking, and being merry. I see them going from place to place. I meet them. Johnny, that's the truth, so help me God. I meet them. I sit there and see them eat steak. But they don't have the money to pay their taxes. And they don't have the money. Now see, why don't we live by faith and stay away from the steakhouse? Because if it's wrong to pay the taxes, it's wrong to eat steak. Why don't we do that? Why don't we be just as religious when Sunday comes and stay away from the steakhouse? Why don't we be just as religious when it comes to eating ice cream and pie and drinking soda pop and leave off with that? I know you don't like this, folks. I know some of you don't like this, but some of you just love it. Because you know it's the truth and you love the truth. Children of truth, children of wisdom, justify wisdom. People of error, justify error because they don't want to face responsibility. But if I'm your pastor, and I may not be, you know, my sheep know my voice. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ or as I follow the Word. But if I'm your pastor, then you'll do these things. If you don't do these things, I'm not your pastor. I'm not your pastor. It's like the taxes. You stay away from taxes. You don't pay your taxes and you try to cheat with those things and you'll be on the run from now on. Once you get that thing started, you'll always be an alien and be on the run all the time. You'll always be expecting something to happen because if they ever catch you, it's going to be too bad. When you could have went ahead and paid what little taxes you owed, kept everything up to par, kept a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, kept a good name, kept everything up to par, and you would have been a real testimony for God of them that are without and them that are within. The Bible said, if you're going to choose anybody, let them have a good report of them that are without and have a good report of them that are within. Folks, if I'm your pastor, that's the kind of person that you're going to be. If you're another kind of person, I'm not your pastor. I'm preaching to you. I'm a preacher. I'm preaching to you. But I'm not your pastor because sheep follow the shepherd. And if you were my sheep, you would do the things that I ask you to do. And many other things that we could say, many multiplied things that we could say. Not going to take up a lot of time to say them tonight, but many other things that we could say. The Lord is blessing us. I don't know whether I mentioned this in church or not. But we just paid off a parcel of ground back over here. It's been a number of years. We paid it off. We got the deeds on it. Then in a few days, we paid off another parcel of ground over there. The people were very explicit in what they did. They give us the other deed. So two parcels of land was paid off and we received the deeds. Out here on this property that we paid, I think, more than $40,000 for, we paid it off. We got the deed. They brought us the deed. Mr. Podbury brought the deed. Mr. Podbury said, "You're rich." Said, "You're rich. You paid your land off." Well, I don't feel that way, because even though God has made us rich, He's made you rich, very rich, in natural things and spiritual things. But the main thing is to be rich in Christ and rich toward God and do something for the Lord Jesus. All these other things will be added unto you. Though people have desired our hurt, and though they fought us, though they have leached until they have bled me to death, yet God has lifted me up and resurrected me and blessed me and helped me to pay the bills and pay these things off. And the assets of little Bethlehem is growing tremendously. And the liabilities are less and less, because He loves the people that have been faithful. Some of them have been faithful and they've tried to take their little bit and share, while others have done nothing but just lounge around, go in and out, up and down, and reproach us in every corner, every nook, every place they have reproached us. But nevertheless, Jesus has picked us up. Jesus has spread this around the world. Today I signed the contract on WLAC. The contract came in today, and I suppose in the middle of December. It won't be that much longer, I don't guess, we'll be broadcasting. We also received the plane tickets for Hawaii. They come in the other day, and the tickets are here. They're paid for us to go into Hawaii. And Brother Stevie has already printed up the brochures. They got them ready. So we're fixing to send the brochures to where we can have the advertisement for our, I believe it's called some kind of special event hall, whatever it is, some kind of an auditorium or special event hall that we're supposed to have our meeting in. I don't know how many people are planning to go over there. Maybe there's some that's going. I really need to know how many are planning to go. Doesn't matter to me how many of you go. You want to go, that's up to you. If you're going to get the special rates, you'll have to probably have to post them at least 14 days in advance to be able to get the special rates. And I think that's $500 or $600, is it? How much, Betty? $600. They fly you to Honolulu, Hawaii. And then from Honolulu, you catch a smaller plane. And they carry you over to Kailua-Kona, which is the biggest island of the Hawaiian Islands. As far as I know, we'll be on the biggest one. And, of course, I think $600 takes care of your trip to Honolulu and also your trip flying on over to Kailua-Kona. And I think Kailua is maybe another 300 miles from Honolulu. But you're welcome to go. Brother Pike doesn't care at all. You're welcome to go, and we'll be going if nothing happens. I'll have to make some arrangements as to the musical instruments we'll take, and as to the sound system that we'll be taking over there, and the different things that we'll need. I know maybe that you don't understand me. You know, you think, why does Brother Pike preach like that? But folks, that's the Bible. Said, "He that God sendeth will speak God's word." I'm telling you the Bible. We get in such a rut as to self-pity and these kind of things until we actually get to believing in our heart that God is in agreement with it. And that's why we have all the sicknesses, all the problems, all the interruptions. Because we get to telling ourselves that that's all right. See, it's not all right. It's not all right for you to leave your wife and marry another woman. It's not all right for you to leave your husband and marry somebody else. That's not all right. When a preacher tells you it is all right, that preaches of the devil. He's getting you into adultery. And that man is of the devil. If he tells you that kind of thing. And he needs to get born again and get straightened out. Because he's going to kill your soul. You can't play around with a man with a woman and a woman with a man. You know, you can't play around with them in church or in your home and do those things unless you want to go to hell. You can't do those things. It's ungodly. So I tell you these things because this is what Jesus taught. This is the way that Jesus taught it. And this is the way that he brought me up. And this is the way that he instructed me. And this is the path that he led me in. And this is the way to heaven. And if you don't go that way, folks, don't let nobody deceive you. If you don't go that route, you ain't going to make it to heaven. Don't get the feeling it's all right. I feel when they had to replace this pump over here on the campground. Betty and I was in Florida believing God for miracle after miracle. And I was praying for the people. But I believe that what burned the pump up is somebody hooked their lights to the pump. Somebody that wouldn't pay their light bill, hooked their light to the pump, spent their money, and went on their way with their merry frolics and just continually doing it until they burned the pump up after we paid for the pump. It's like this thing out here. I don't know just exactly what happened to it, but this big generator that our brother Hollis gave us, I don't know how much he paid for it, but he gave it to us. That generator, Brother Hollis, did y'all get that generator straightened out last night? You think he saved it? Okay. Now, Brother Hollis could have put some antifreeze in that, but he didn't do it. So it froze up. But he did tell somebody that was responsible to put it in, he said. And I believe he did. I don't think he'd lie to me. Okay, now, the person didn't put it in there. Brother Hollis told them that they had to put it in there. But now I understand that they didn't put it in there. The thing froze up. That thing could cost a lot of money. It's real good. We have a great use for it. But because the person didn't put it in there, it froze up. And I still don't know whether it's going to crack the block or tear the thing up or what. Brother Hollis talks as though that they might have got it straightened out. But I know that Brother Taylor and Brother Lynn Londebeau, and there was a number of them last night. They were out in the cold, working late, trying their very best to keep that thing from busting, ruining the thing. Folks, this has happened to motors. This has happened things. The doors is about rotted off at times. The front of the church on the top literally rotted off before anybody would fix it. You know, it's my conviction that unless you get your heart right with God, you ain't going to go to heaven. If I talk to you and I meet you and I try to fellowship you, and every time I meet you, I feel that old carnal mind, you're not in harmony with me. Ain't no need to try to be religious. You can try to be as pious as you want to, try to be just as kind as you want to. But if your spirit don't relate to my spirit, you need to be born again. I'm your pastor. And if your spirit doesn't relate to my spirit, there's something wrong. You say, but Brother Pike, maybe you're the one that's wrong. That could very well be. That could very well be. But according to what the Bible said, John said, we know that you're wrong because we're right. You say, but how do you know that you're right? Because I esteem all of his precepts and commandments right. And I try my very best to walk according to his word. And according to his way. And when I judge you, I try not to judge you out of what I think or what I feel. I try to judge you out of the word of God. And when you cross the word of God, then you're not right with the Lord. If you have not his spirit, you're none of his. And the word is his spirit. That is the Spirit of Christ. That is God. In the beginning was God, the Word Spirit. Even Christ was made flesh. So if you don't have that Spirit, then you're not of His. But if you try to pay your taxes, if you try to pray, if you try to fast, if you try to work, if you try to give, if you try to go to church, if you try not to be backbiters, and try not to have jealous spirits, and try not to do these evil things, then you're following the Word. If you try to follow the Word, then you won't do those things because the Word condemns all those things. Then do you have the Word Spirit? And if a person's spirit don't agree with your spirit, then you can judge them the same. That if their spirit don't agree with your spirit, then there's something wrong with them. A man a few minutes ago, his spirit didn't agree with my spirit. It never has since he's been with me. Though he's very religious, though he does a lot of things, though he tries his very best to convince me he's with me, but his spirit still ain't right with God. And he caused me trouble. A woman sitting here, she'd been with me ever so many years, and she tries her best for her spirit to agree with me, but it don't. You say, Brother Pike, why is that? I don't want to scold them. I don't want to abuse them. It's simple. They just never have received the Holy Ghost. They've never had the infilling of the Spirit of God. I mean, it's just that simple. Though they have been here for years, they still haven't received it. You can't make believe in this thing, folks. There's no way to make believe. And I'm going to close in just a little bit. I felt to exhort you. This is part of the ministry. If I'm not preaching the Bibles that exhort them, the more that as you see the day approaching, and I see it approaching. I would like to talk to you about the revelation of the great deep mysteries of God. But see, these are just childish things. Paul said, when it comes to childish things, are you not yet carnal? Like children, envy, strife, malice, jealousy. All these things that I'm speaking of, negligence, unconcern, temper, getting angry, getting upset. All these things, interested in money and business and houses and lands and animals and people and cars and all these kind of things. Are you not yet carnal? Won't conform to the Word, trying to save a dollar, not pay the taxes, not rendering unto Caesar, not obeying the Word, laughing, joking, all these kind of things. And we could go on and on. But anyway, I just said that to try to get a point over. If my wife gets carnal and her spirit won't relate to me, I don't want to be around her. I believe I love her as good as any man ever loved his wife. But if she gets carnal, I can't stand to be around her. There's something mocking about it. It's the bond child. See, it's that bond child spirit. And it mocks you. And I can't stand to be around it. It grieves me. And it grieves God. It grieves the Spirit of God. And the Bible said it's not profitable for you to grieve the minister. If I feel that attitude from you, it's the bond child. See, and I don't want that. I don't want to be around it. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm here to tell you exactly what you must do. And I'm going to tell you something. You listen at me now. This goes for my wife. It goes for my children. It goes for my relatives. It goes for Brother Pike. And it goes for all of you and your children. You remember this. I don't care how religious you are, what kind of background you got as far as religion, how much you fast, how much you pray, what you give, how often you come to church. If you are carnally minded, you're going to die and go to hell. And if you're carnally minded, you're going to have a mocking spirit. You're going to have it. I don't care how much the preacher works with you, how tender he is toward you, no matter what he tries to do, when he looks at you, when he meets you, he's going to meet that carnal mind of yours. And it's going to be grievous to him. You remember this. There are people that are stumbling and they are staggering and they are making mistakes and they're doing things they ought not to do from lack of development. But they still got God and they're still Christians and they're still on their way to heaven and they're going to go by the whipping post and God's going to whip them until they get straightened out. Because them he loves, he chastens. But there are people that are religious. There are people that are pious. There are people that are steady churchgoers. There are people that are reproving the other people that are carnal minded, though they're trying to walk as straight as they can. They're carnal minded. They don't have the Spirit of God, and they're not going to heaven. They're just religious folks. So see, you got to judge it, and you got to judge it right. But there's one thing about it, folks. These things that I tell you tonight, when you come to the knowledge of these things, and you've already come to that knowledge, then it means if you do not try to conform to these things, you will die and go to hell. Okay, I just felt like exhorting you tonight and telling you those things. Don't ever get overconfident. Don't ever think that you can set and mock the preacher. Don't ever think that you can set it in your mind, judge the preacher as to whether you think he's telling the truth or whether you think he's right or wrong. You can't do it. You say, but I'm a deacon. You can't do it. You can't do it. I'm a preacher. You still can't do it. When the man of God's up there speaking, you can't do it. If he's a man of God, God's speaking through him. If he ain't a man of God, he ain't got no business being up there. Your wife can't do it. Just because she's the wife, she can't do it. See, here's the thing. You are a preacher. You belong to the wife only on natural basis. When you're up here and you're speaking, you don't belong to the wife. Neither can a mother do it, nor a daddy do it. Like Mary, when she wanted to see her son, Jesus said, "Who is my mother?" Mary, you can't do it. He said, "I'm not your son. I'm not your son. I'm the Son of God. I don't have any mother in this earth. I don't have an earthly mother." When it was Jesus, it was an earthly son with an earthly mother made in an earthly image. But when that Christ was speaking, it had nothing to do with mother, father, brother, sister, neighbor, whatever, wife, husband, children, nothing. So then tonight, I tell you these things because I love you. It is a true fact that among my own kindred as a minister, and you'll be the same way, you're without honor. Your wife isn't going to pay any attention to you, neither is your children going to pay any attention to you, to the extent that you're still husband and you're still the father. But it's one thing I keep reminding you of, even though you're in your own country and you're not honored as a prophet, it still doesn't mean that you're not a prophet. And though they don't honor your words, it still doesn't mean that your words won't come to pass. Your words will come to pass just as precisely with your children and your wife. When it was Jesus, it was an earthly son with an earthly mother made in an earthly image. But when that Christ was speaking, it had nothing to do with mother, father, brother, sister, neighbor, whatever, wife, husband, children, nothing. So then tonight, I tell you these things because I love you. It is a true fact that among my own kindred as a minister, and you'll be the same way, you're without honor. Your wife isn't going to pay any attention to you, neither is your children going to pay any attention to you, to the extent that you're still husband and you're still the father. But it's one thing I keep reminding you of, even though you're in your own country and you're not honored as a prophet, it still doesn't mean that you're not a prophet. And though they don't honor your words, it still doesn't mean that your words won't come to pass. Your words will come to pass just as precisely with your children and your wife and anybody else in your country as it would if they did honor you as the prophet of God. It doesn't change it at all. It is a true fact that God makes a little allowance for the children. He does. He makes a little allowance for the wife, but he'll just let them go so far. And that's it. Like Brother Branham said one time when his wife got upset, said, "Billy, you think you know everything," and slammed the door. He said, "I heard a voice say she should not have done that." And it wasn't long before she's in bad shape. See, you don't know when you're talking back to God. So you need to differentiate, folks, and understand not to know a man after the flesh, but to know him after the spirit. Okay, let's stand together. I can tell that some of you like to go, so I'm going to let you go. I know that you're not going to do these things. I know that before I tell you. The Lord said to the prophet, said, "Go warn the people." He said, "When you warn them," said, "they're not going to listen at you. They're not going to do what you tell them to do." He said, "They're not going to pay any attention to it. They're not going to do what you tell them to do." But said, "Go tell the people anyway." He said, "Because if you don't tell them," he said, "I'm going to require their blood at your hand." But he said, "They're going to stay in the same old rut, do the same old things. act like they've always acted, continuing their same program of life, the same ritualistics. And whatever you say, they're going to go around it, and they're going to program themselves the same, stay exactly the same. And the day after tomorrow, they're going to be doing the same thing they was the day that you warned them. He said, because they are a rebellious people. They're not going to conform to my word. They're not going to listen at you. They'll work it all out to where they still think they're right. They'll reason it all out in their mind. They'll lean to their own understanding. He said, but there's one thing about it. If you warn them, you've delivered their blood from your hands. He said, but if you don't warn them, then I'm going to require the blood at your hands. So folks, I warned you. Paul said, your blood be upon your own head. Them that will listen, them that will follow me, them that will honor me, them that will hear the voice of God and do the things I've told you the word. Then you follow me as I follow Christ, and the Lord will bless you. Otherwise, your blood be upon your own head. If you're going to mock, say things, think things in your natural reasoning, never get the Spirit of God, never get out of that rut, we'll go on the way we've gone the last 5-10 years. We'll go on and you'll go on the same, and we'll go on fellowshipping just like Jesus did Judas. At the end of the way, Judas went to his place, and at the end of the way, you'll go to your place. And the rest of them that love God will be caught away to heaven. Let's sing a little chorus together. All of us have a place in God. One way or another, He hath prepared us a place. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing it again now. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me, and He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Folks, let me tell you something. When praying and fasting won't cause you to come to church and won't cause you to conform to Christ, then praying and fasting ain't no good for you. Your praying and fasting ain't doing you no good. It ain't worth a dime to you. Not worth a dime. You'll find at the end of the way, you will be turned into hell. Praying and fasting is for the purpose to cause you to surrender to God's program and God's way of life. That's what it's for. It is to cause you to be obedient. It is to make you conform to God's way. When you stay out of the house of God and you're irregular, you just come whenever you take a notion, there is no possible way that you could be a Christian. Doesn't matter how much you fast and pray. Because the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be in the house of God. And the Bible said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. So see if it doesn't make you conform to Christ. You say, what do you mean conform to Christ, Brother Pike? I'm conforming to Christ. Brother, sister, this is Christ, the Word of God. If you're not conforming to the Word of God, you're not conforming to Christ. You've got to do what the Word of God says. And the Word of God tells you that you need to be in the house of God, even the more as the day approaches. And you need to take up your cross, and you need to follow Him. You need to share. You need to help. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, not to fast and pray. He said, away with your fasting. I don't care nothing about it. He said, I didn't tell you to get down in sackcloth and ashes. He said, is this the fast that I've chosen? That's not pure and undefiled salvation and religion before God. He said, I told you that this is the fast that I've chosen. But you do without your bread to give it to somebody. You feed the hungry. You visit the needy. You visit the widows and the orphans and their afflictions. And you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Somebody says, there you are by the pike. Visit them widows and orphans. That's true. The Bible said they that are widows indeed. And you know what it named as a widow indeed? One that has lived with one companion. And lived holy and godly. And has lived with that one companion until they're about 60 years old. Having lived soberly with that one companion. The Bible says having lived with them. Having been holy and godly. Having washed the saints' feet. Getting on up into age. He said, now take care of that widow. Let the church be responsible for that widow. Said, the others don't you be responsible for. He said, because they're going to wax warning and sin against God and going to reproach you. Said, don't let the church be charged with them. Said, let their relatives take care of them. Let their families be the ones that take care of them. And visit them that are widows indeed. Provide for them. That I want to do. I stretch out as far as I can, so does my wife, in trying to help everyone that they can, or she can, or we can, widows, trying to help them. But they're not chargeable to the church. I don't have to do that. Neither does God require it. As a matter of fact, He tells me not to let them be chargeable to the church. It's displeasing for them to be chargeable to the church. The Bible said, if they be young widows, let them marry. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. He said, for many have turned aside already, or some have turned aside already after the devil. He said, let them bear children and guide the house. You love the Lord? I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This is the way the Bible speaks. I tell you this because I don't want you confused. When you see the widows around here, I want you to know exactly how to think of them widows so that they don't get you confused. And when you see orphans, when you see unmarried men or whatever, I want you to know exactly how to behave yourself around them. Even the men said, let them be grave and sober. When you see a man, especially a single man, come around and he starts laughing, giggling, got to be always going on. Stay away from him. He's got a devil. God commanded him to be sober. If you see a girl doing that, stay away from her. She's got a devil. God said, be sober. Be sober. You can be pleasant. You can be pleasant. But folks, let me tell you, there's something about keeping your spirit. There's something about keeping your spirit. When you start laughing and grinning and going on at the opposite sex, you ain't keeping your spirit. You're committing whoredom with them. That's a whorish spirit. That's the spirit of a harlot and a whoremonger. You're supposed to be grave and sober. I've said this before. I got some women around here that when I get near them, they act like they're dead and twice dead and plucked up by the root. They run like they're like a little puppy. And I think, you hypocrite. Because I pick up their spirit and they're filled with the devil. And as quick as they get around the corner, some other man comes along or somebody and the preacher ain't there. It's just a giggle and a laugh and a going on and a flirt. I got some men that do the same way. The Lord will put you in hell for that. If you love God, you'll be sober. You'll be grave. You'll be pleasant. But you'll do the things that God commanded out of the presence of the preacher. That's when you're rewarded for it. What you do in the presence of the preacher, it may just be a hypocritical thing. You ain't going to get nothing for that. But I know that I got people that ain't going to listen to this. As long as Bethlehem stands, I'm going to have them same flirty, giggling, trying to get the attentions of men and women spirits. I know I'm going to have them here. But nevertheless, I'm telling you what the Bible says, so that you know when you see them people. You that really love God, you that are going to heaven, you that really want to do right, you that want to be like the Son of God, then you know how to judge them kind of people and how to feel about them kind of people. You know when you see them, so that you won't be confused and you won't think they're one thing when they're another. A child is known by their doings. I've got women here that they evade me, and they're very sober. They'll go down to another house and get with the men, and sitting at home, and the men and the women, that's all they do is go on. Continually, they go on. And that woman will sit there and run her mouth continually, just as protruding and bold and as ugly as any devil could be. And the man will do the same thing. But it's wrong. It's wrong, and they'll have it to pay for. They trouble me, and God said, I'll trouble them that trouble you. Let's sing one more chorus together. Say, why are you telling me this, Brother Pike? I want you to know them that labor among you, to give double honor unto them. I want you to know them others that ain't nothing but troublemakers causing problems. And I want you to watch the end of them. The man that loves God, the end of that man will be peace. The end of that woman will be peace. But watch the end of them. Let's sing this little chorus, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. Give me another key, friend. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Sing it like this, Dan. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. For it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. And our hope is to be like him. So let thy will be done. Let the will of God be done in your heart. To let His will be done in your heart. To let the will of God be done in your heart. That is the wonderful desire of the Heavenly Father. So tonight, folks, remember obedience is better than sacrifice. To hearken to Christ better than the offering of the fat of rams. I want you to lift your hands with me. I want you to close your eyes. Now, remember, folks, don't be forgetful hearers. The Bible said, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. For seeing that the angels received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall ye escape if you neglect so great salvation? Remember, folks, if you want to go to heaven, it's going to take the Spirit of Christ. And this is what the Spirit of Christ is. He's the Word. And you must incorporate these things in your daily life. It must be in your daily living. This must be your lifestyle in the earth, even as Christ. You've got to get a hold of these things. Give them more earnest heed, lest at any time you should let them slip. And take heed how that you hear them. So be sure that you understand that they're required of you. I tell you, because I love you, coming to church don't mean you're my sheep, nor the sheep of Christ. Coming to church, living on the campground, acting like you're in agreement with me, that doesn't mean anything, folks. But if you're going to be translated, it's going to take the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you. We're not sitting around like the average church waiting for some kind of rapture, doing all kind of things. We're teaching you that there must be an indwelling of His holy presence, and that His presence must be with you, and that His presence on the inside of you, His Holy Spirit, will transform your mind, translate your spirit, and transfigure your body, and that by faith, as it was with Enoch, as you conform to these things that I've told you tonight, even the word of spirit, that will make you spirit. He that is born of spirit is spirit. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. And the only faith, the only translation there is by faith. And the only faith is by the word. So let it dwell rich within you. And you keep surrendering to it every day, trying to conform to it. Don't miss that great translation. Don't miss it. Whatever you do, you might have missed many things in your life, but children of God, hold on, pray, fast. Believe in God. God's going to help you make it. He's going to help you make it. While you're standing here, we're going to dismiss. While you're standing here thinking upon the Lord Jesus, His goodness, I want you to consider tonight. I think I'll ask Brother Mitch Hamby to come up here and dismiss us tonight. I call on to lead the children in singing tonight. I feel like calling on him to come up here to dismiss prayer tonight, or dismiss in prayer tonight. Think on these things, folks. Deathbeds are coming. Judgment is coming. Sorrow and heartaches is coming. It's coming over to your house if you don't do right. And it's coming anyway. One day death is coming to your house whether you do right or don't do right. Unless you make the translation, death is coming over to your house. But God will keep it away until you finish your course if you'll try to do right. Otherwise, it'll come early because you're shortening your days by your disobedience. For these things, the disobedience, for these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.